Hallelujah. Yes, it is good to be here. Brethren, we have traveled many thousand miles. We have had many nights of no sleep. And I don't want to waste your time. It's okay, brethren. I don't want to feed you a lot of milk. We're going to have a variety of diet while we're here. Brother Bert set a good table of food. And we're going to add to it other food. Amen. Brethren, I want you to know that we preach the kingdom of God. Amen. We preach the message of sonship. And we preach an end time word. Lord willing, I'd like to talk about all of these things today. First of all, and from that time on, Jesus began to preach and teach, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand.
Amen.
Now, God, give me a little time to preach, brethren. Okay? Now let's just go through it here. This is the same chapter that says that John the Baptist came and said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Now, I don't know if you know what the kingdom of God is. You say amen. I'm not sure you do, though. When you say amen, it means I want to know. For many years, I did not know what the kingdom of God was. I thought the kingdom of God was the kingdom of all these churches. I came to a point where I discovered that the kingdom of God was not all those organizations. You know, the Word of God also calls it the kingdom of heaven. How long are you going to have to wait to come into the kingdom of heaven? Can you enter the kingdom of heaven now? Yeah. Well, we don't have to die in our flesh. But we have to die to ourselves. To enter into the kingdom of God. You see, the kingdom of heaven means it's a spiritual place. It's not a natural place. And you know, the people came to Jesus after this and they said, tell us when the kingdom of God will come. And he said, the kingdom of God is within you. That means... that means with these eyes, I can't see the kingdom of God in you. But with the eyes of the Spirit, I can know the kingdom of God within you. Now, brethren, when the day is finished, when the day of the Lord is all finished, as Brother Bert already told you, the kingdom of heaven is not going to have Americans in it. Did you know that? Did you know that there will be no Filipinos in the kingdom of heaven? Did you know that there will be no Pentecostals in the kingdom of heaven? There will be no UPC in the kingdom of heaven. There will be no Baptists. There will only be those whose Father and Lord is the God. Amen. You know, I say that I don't think we really know what the kingdom of God is. I'm not being hard on you. I'm not trying to be hard on you. You say, well, if only I had walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, then I would really know all these things. Do you know that the disciples walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, and at the end of 3.5 years, when he was crucified, they still did not understand the kingdom of God? Let me say it a different way. Peter did not understand the kingdom of God after the crucifixion. He got his sword out and he was ready to fight. For the kingdom of God. The last question that the disciples asked Jesus before he ascended up into heaven, when will you restore the kingdom again to Israel? Do you see the kingdom that they were thinking of? They were looking for the kingdom of Israel. when they heard about the king that would sit on the throne of David, they expected that Jesus would go down there to the palace of Pilate, throw him off his throne, and he would sit there. They expected that they would defeat Rome. Now, I don't know whether you have hopes and aspirations for the land of the Philippines. We're not going to have those nations, brethren, in the kingdom of God. I don't know if you think that your culture is unique and worthy of saving. I want to tell you something. It won't be worth anything in the kingdom of God. So, are you willing to die to all these other things? You know, brethren, I live in the land called America. My passport says that I'm an American. I wish I could get a passport that didn't say that. I don't come here with a claim of being an American. Now, I want to tell you something, brethren. The kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Peter learned a lot after Pentecost. You know, the Word of God says that unless you're born again, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. That's in John chapter 3. It also says that unless you're born of the Spirit and of the water, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So first of all, your spiritual eyes have to be opened. You have to see first. You know, we bring this kingdom word to a lot of people. And there are some people who are blind. They say, "Brother, I don't know. I just don't see it that way." Not everybody can see the kingdom of God. Now let me read some things that Peter said in the second epistle of Peter. It says in the fourth verse of the first chapter of 2 Peter, it says here, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Did somebody have that in a... Give the sister a microphone so we can hear. here we go. Now, Brother Bird already read from the book of Genesis. What is the desire of God for us? That we would be made in His image and His likeness. So it is His desire that, as Peter said here, that we would be a partaker of His divine nature. What do you think? What do you think that means? To be a partaker of His divine nature. What is the divine nature of God? Isn't it all that makes Him God? Would you like to be like God? Are you finding that you are like God? Not all the time. What's the problem? What is the problem? It says here, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We've got some of fallen Adam in us. But by the Spirit of God, we are going to be changed. Changed into His likeness. You know what? I'm still being changed. I had hoped the process would be over 20 years ago. But it didn't end. Amen. Because the pull of Adam, the pull of the lower nature, is going to be in you until the day you die. But the good news is, God is giving us power to overcome Adam. Now, if you're going to have His divine nature, you're going to have to be His son. Do you know that there are two words that are used to describe those who belong to God? The Bible speaks of children, and the Bible speaks of sons. Amen. Now we all have to start off as children, don't we? But we are not expected to remain children for years and years and years. have met Christians who are as old as I am in years. And I'm getting many, many more years on me. I'm getting many more years. But I have known Christians my age who are still children. I'm talking about spiritual things. Amen.
Amen.
I'm talking about people who are immature Christians. I'm talking about people who can only digest milk. Are you ready to digest the meat? See, the kingdom message, brethren, is meat. It's not just rice and milk. Amen. Brethren, the message of sonship is a call to come up higher. Now, Peter has a lot to say in this chapter. In the 10th verse, he says, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." How many of you are making your calling and election sure? Do you know that Peter is writing to Christians? He is writing to believers. I'll never forget, I was at a funeral. I think the funeral was for one of my aunts, I'm not sure. It's been a long time ago. But one of my mother's sisters lived 400 or 500 miles away, and I rarely saw her. And she came into the funeral where, I don't know, do you have funeral homes here where you...
Yes.
Okay, she came into the funeral home. And the first thing she said to me... I'm her nephew, she's my aunt. She said, "Mark, have you made your calling and election sure?" I said, "Yes, Aunt Esther, I have." And she said, "What about your other brothers?" I said, "They're in the other room. Go ask them." I'm telling you, she had a zeal for the things of God. You can say, well, you make a fool of yourself at a funeral asking people questions like that. No, I don't think she made a fool of herself. I never forgot the question that she asked me that day. And it's a question that stirred me, and it's a question that stuck with me for many, many days after that. In those days, I didn't know anything about sonship. You see, I was born again, but our church did not preach sonship. Let me read from Romans chapter 8. Somehow we seem to have overlooked some of these verses in Romans chapter 8. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know, somehow in my understanding, I had the idea that it said something different. My understanding was all those who are born again are sons of God. But that's not what it says. Not everybody that's born again is led by the Spirit of God, are they? Many people, when they're born again, they say, well, praise God, I won't be going to hell now. And that is true. When you've received the blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, the penalty of hell is gone. But that didn't put the fullness of Christ in you. That did not put the fullness of His divine nature in you. And so, before I ever knew anything about sonship, this question began to stir me. Lord, what does that mean to make my calling and election sure? Lord, I have received the blood of Jesus for my forgiveness. But I'm running along on this low level. I keep sinning. I keep falling into things that I don't want to do. Wretched man that I am, there's got to be something more for me. Hallelujah. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now you know, led by the Spirit of God has a little bit more meaning than just led. Than just following. Being led by the Spirit of God means that you are under the government of God. Everything you do, every thought that you have is oriented to the kingdom of God. Every goal, every aspiration, every plan that you make is the kingdom of God. In other words, you eat, sleep, breathe, drink the kingdom of God. In 24 hours of a day, you want the nature of God in you. When I go to sleep at night, many times ask the Lord, "Lord, come to me by the Spirit tonight." Well, it doesn't always happen that way. Many of my dreams don't make very much sense. But I want the kingdom of God. Now let me go down to verse 18. Verse 18.
Chapter 8, verse 18.
In Romans 8. It says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." What did the apostles teach? That it is through much suffering that we enter into what? The kingdom of God. Brethren, are you rejoicing in tribulation? It's working the kingdom in you. Now, I didn't say you had to enjoy it. I don't enjoy pain. Pain is part of life, isn't it? But I can rejoice in that which I don't enjoy. Amen. The pain, the suffering, the tribulation is not worthy what to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Let me take the next verse and then we're going to come back. It says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature," which means the creation, "waits for the manifestation of the sons of God."
Verse 19.
Kaya ang mag-ibang
Why is the world groaning and travailing? What are they waiting for? They're waiting for the sons of God to come forth. What is the husbandman waiting for? He's waiting for the fruit to come forth. What is God waiting for in us? He's waiting for a people to come forth who are going to be sold out to the kingdom of God. He's waiting for a people who want nothing else except to see His kingdom come on this earth. This verse here, verse 18, said it is the suffering, the pain, the tribulation is not anywhere comparable with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What is glory? What is your definition of glory? Do we have much glory? Not much. Who is the owner of glory? What did Moses ask God? Oh Lord, that I might see your glory. Amen. And did God show him the glory? Did He show him all His glory? No, He didn't show him all of it. He said, Moses, if I show you all my glory, I'm going to have to kill you. You can't live, Moses, if I show you all of it. That glory of God is so powerful that our flesh, our carnal flesh, could not take it. So God had to cover Moses up with His hand. He said, Moses, I can't come straight at you. I'll have to cover you with my hand. Then you can see me. Then you can see me as I go away. And what did Moses describe that he saw? The Lord gracious, the Lord merciful, the Lord long-suffering. He didn't just talk about seeing a bright light. What Moses saw was merciful, gracious, loving, long-suffering. That's what Moses saw. Brethren, these are spiritual things that you can't see with these eyes. Moses was seeing kingdom things. Moses wanted kingdom things. Now in his natural flesh, when he came down from the mountain, his face was shining. So the glory of God was on him. Look over in Isaiah for a minute. I think it's chapter 60. Isaiah. Yeah, here we are. Isaiah 60. It says here, "Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." 60 verse 1. Now, this is written to God's people, isn't it? God is writing to His people that you can rise up. That you can shine with God's nature, and that His glory will be upon you. Now hold your finger here in Isaiah. Go back to Romans for a minute. Now remember, the Old Testament prophet said, "The glory upon you." But there was a new revelation now in the New Testament that Paul had when he was writing to Romans. And what the Lord showed Paul is that the glory of the Lord would be where? Where would it be? In you. See? Not just on you, but in you. In other words, you won't just have the kingdom of God on your face. You're going to have the kingdom of God in your heart. Isn't that better? Let me say this. Let me show you three things about the glory. Sometimes I think the sunset is a glorious thing. It's a beautiful thing. I see the beautiful colors when the sun is going down. And I behold the glory of the sun. Now suppose I had that glory on my face.
Yeah,
That's more than just seeing it, isn't it? But I can do better than that. I can have it in me. That means it just comes right out of me. Now maybe you can call that the anointing if you like. But there's no other anointing than the presence of God, is there? Amen.
Amen.
Now, go back here to Isaiah for a minute. It says, "The glory of the Lord is risen upon you." And the next verse says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." We are living in a time of great darkness. We are living in a time when darkness has come upon men. People are beginning to do terrible things. Murder is breaking out everywhere. Children are doing terrible things. The things that God talked about in the prophetic word about the day of the Lord coming, it's here today, brethren. You know, I don't know if you have been watching the television lately or listening to the news of the world. Have you been listening to these things? Our night and day is still kind of mixed up. We woke up at 2:30 in the morning and I turned the television on to the news station. And you know, another nation is going down. The rulers, the government of another nation is going down. Riots. You know, the only thing that came to me as I'm watching these people rioting in the streets of Cairo, Egypt. I'm thinking of this verse in Luke chapter 21. And I can't get this verse out of my mind. It says in verse 34, I'm going to read a couple of verses here. "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares." Yeah, read that verse, sister. Verse 34. No, that's not the verse I'm looking for. I'm looking for that.
Oh, sa mga kawalaka sa kinabuhi. Oh, sa kalis ka na madla.
looking for the verse that talks, it's in Luke 21, isn't it? About the waves of the sea. Yeah, here it is. It's verse 25. I'm sorry. It's verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. When the Bible speaks prophetically about the sea, it is talking about the people of the world. The unredeemed masses of humanity of the world. And it says there's going to be perplexity like the waves of the sea. Do you know that the waves are moved by the wind, aren't they? People are moved by every wind of doctrine that blows this way and that way. Even among the Christians, that watch these Christian, so-called Christian, evangelist channels on television. Oh, here's a new thing. Let's all go after this man. Let's all go after this man. Oh, it's Mr. Benny. Oh, it's Mr. This one. It's the wind driving them. And I couldn't help but think when I saw these pictures on the television, I would see these masses of people. They'd run this way. And then something would happen and they'd all run over this way again. And then they'd run into some police over here and they'd all run another way. It was just like a big flock of birds, you know, all fly this way, all fly that way. It's the waves roaring, the waves of the sea. And these people were roaring, they were chanting, they were yelling, you know. Men's hearts failing them for fear.
Hallelujah.
Brethren, you're going to see these things too. You're not going to be exempt from trouble. This 35th verse says, "For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." As a snare. What kind of little animals do you have here in the Philippines? Do you have rabbits here in the Philippines?
Yeah.
Do you have rabbits?
Bit, yes.
Do people ever catch them in a snare?
Pets we have also.
A rabbit? They set a snare?
Ang rabbit ko na mara katlokan snare.
It's a trap.
Okay lang mga bitik.
Well, where I come from, people sometimes set traps for rabbits.
Here, bitik. We call it here bitik.
Bitik.
Yeah.
Okay, you have a way of catching them. Well, the rabbit isn't thinking about the snare, is he? He's just going along, being a happy rabbit. Just going along, looking for something good to eat. And all of a sudden, he's not expecting it. All of a sudden, some of these snares just catch him. There they are, hanging up in the air. This is the way Jesus explained what is coming upon the earth. Now, the verse that Bert read in Psalm 91. Brethren, I'm telling you, there is a way out. You do not need to be caught in the snare of the fowler. There is a dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. I'm still preaching the kingdom of God, brethren. Many Christians are going to be caught in the snare. Many Christians are failing to come into sonship. Many Christians are content to be children. You know, brethren, just being in church, just being an officer in a church organization is not going to get you into heaven. I was a young man in my 30s. I was going to an evangelical church. I still had a gift to teach the Word of God. The pastor saw that. He appointed me to be a teacher. Then he appointed me to be an elder. Then he appointed me to be a Sunday school superintendent. I mean, I had all kinds of positions, I had all kinds of appointments, titles. But you know what? My heart was full of sin. He resisted the filling of the Spirit of God. God had mercy on me. He filled me because I asked.
Amen.
took me in the condition I was in. Religious man. I was a religious man, brethren. But I was far from the kingdom of God. I'm not hearing you yell amen anymore. And one day I made up my mind. Because I saw the goodness of God. And I said, Lord, I'm never going to turn away again. You know what happened? You know what happened to me? Hell opened his mouth against me. The devil did everything to destroy me. The devil didn't mind my being in church. The devil didn't mind my being religious. The devil was glad for all the positions I had in my church. You know, God had to get me out. God had to make an earthquake in my life to get me out. When I started this word, I had this verse in 2 Peter I wanted to read. I wanted to start with this verse, but I think I'm going to have to end with it. It's verse 19.
2 Peter 1:19.
We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts.
Maayo nga inyong muon ang pagtagad ini, maingon sa inyong pagtagad sa usang kasuga, nga nagasika sa dapit kamagiti. Hangtod, mubanagbanag ang panahon, o musuban ang bitoong kabugason, diha sa inyong mga kasing-kasing.
Hallelujah. Oh my. It'd take another hour to go into that one.
Hallelujah.
But
it says until the day dawns.
Amen.
Brethren, I talked about the darkness. I talked about the gross darkness that is on the people. What comes after the darkness? It's the dawning of the new day. It's time. It's time has come. Brother talked about God's 7 days. God's 7,000 days. Peter said a day is as 1,000 years.
Amen.
Brethren, we've come to the end of the 6th day. We've already crossed over into the beginning of the 7th day. You know, in the counting of God's days, the day always starts with the evening. The midnight hour is coming upon us now. When I said in the beginning, I don't want to waste your time, what I meant was, when I see the things that are happening in the earth, I don't know if we will have another opportunity to come back to this place again. That's why I am pleading with you to hear what we have to say this time. Take heed, brethren,
amen,
to what you hear.
Hallelujah.
I pray the Holy Spirit will call to your remembrance,
amen,
the things that you have heard,
yes,
at this weekend of meeting. My prayer that the kingdom of God will be spread in every nation before the coming of that great and terrible day of the Lord. Peter talked about the day star rising in your heart. What is the day star? What is your name for the day star in the natural?
Kabugason.
It's the sun. When the sun rises, it's the day star, is it not?
Amen.
You know, when you go out at night and you look up in the sky and you see stars.
Yes.
What are those stars really? Most of them are suns.
Mga anak.
They are bright, burning suns. Many of them are many times bigger than our sun. But those are night stars. If you got millions and millions of miles away from the earth, our sun would look like one of those stars. But for us that live on this earth, it's a day star. Now, it has another meaning. I just talked about the natural things. It has a spiritual meaning. Now I'm going to ask the next question. Who is the day star that is going to rise in your heart? Amen.
Amen.
Do you want the day star?
Amen.
Let me just give you one more little verse here so you'll know what I mean. And then I'll quit. Revelation chapter 2, verse 28. Now this is to the church of Thyatira. And the church of Thyatira is overcoming Jezebel.
Simbahan sa iglesia sa Thyatira.
Chapter 2. Amen. And here is, in verse 26, it says, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." Who's going to have the power over the nations?
Amen.
Who?
Amen.
He that does what? Read it again, brother.
Yes, amen.
Who's going to have the power over the nations? Come on. I want to hear it from you. Who is going to have the power? Who? Read it again, brother. They didn't catch that word. He that overcomes. Brethren, you need to hear preaching about overcoming.
Amen.
You need to overcome the world. You need to overcome the devil. You need to overcome your flesh. God is giving us power to overcome. Not every Christian, but he that overcomes. Go down to verse 28. Verse 28. And I will give him the morning star. Who's getting the morning star?
We overcome.
He that overcomes, I will also give him the morning star. Who is the morning star? You're going to have the fullness of the brightness of the glory of Jesus Christ in you. Such that you will sit with him in his throne. Brother Bert told the story of the three men that were cast into the fiery furnace. These miracles that God has done with his people in the past are a foreshadow of what is coming in the last days, brethren, our days. The world will not be able to kill the sons of God while they are functioning under his calling and purpose.
Amen.
There is a people reserved, a remnant reserved unto God that will live and dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. You don't need to have any rapture to take you off this earth. All you need is to be under the shadow of of the Almighty, and no devil on hell will be able to destroy you or stop you. And brethren, we will be one.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless you.